As you know, we're in a series of sermons on Romans 8, 28. I call it the promise as well, because it is a segment of scripture that deals with the promises of God, and that God works all things together for the good. And so much so, I'd like to kind of reduce the topic, the subject matter a little bit. And Romans 8, 28, yes, God works all things together for the good. But there's something else I think that God wants us to learn and to know, that we can count on God, that we can believe him with a faith that he gives us. And I'm entitled this sermon today, is that we know. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? If you know, why'd you come to church? We know because God inspires us. God encourages us. And he gives us faith. We don't have just hope. And hope is fine. You can see it in the scriptures, etc. But God has given us a faith that transcends everything else. It is a faith that is not a maybe. Faith doesn't live in mights and maybes. We know that our Redeemer lives. We know that eternal life is ours through faith. We know him, and we are persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. In other words, God wants to inspire us and equip us and encourage us to face all of life through faith in him, his power working in and through us. There's nothing our God cannot do. Did we not just sing that? Beautiful song, wonderful song. There's nothing that you may face that you cannot triumph over. God works all things together for the good of those who live in the present future of his promises. I'm going to repeat that. God has called us to live in the presence of his promises. He's made us promises. And as I said, they're not maybes or if I would have, should have, could have promises. But these are rock solid promises. And he's called us to live that way in a society that is often contrary to us as Christians. But nevertheless, we're out to please God and God working through us. And we can become blessings to all others, family and friends. And they see something different in us. And that difference is God. Christians don't live, again, in the mites and the maybes. We know, not No. We know that our Redeemer lives. He lives. He was raised on that third day. We know our Redeemer lives. We know we have eternal life. We know that. And so we ought to walk, talk, not out of, you know, pride, but out of humility that God loved me this much to give me his son, to change me, to give me life, hope, and a future. We know him, and we are persuaded that nothing can separate us from his love. That's where that, that strength comes, that power comes from. It's not us being proud. It is him who lives in us. And we're persuaded that nothing can separate us from his love. Therefore, we know that all things work together for our good. All things. I don't care what it may be or how hopeless your situation may seem. We know. And we are persuaded in our soul, in our hearts, that nothing can separate us from his love. Therefore, we know that all things work together for our good. Since those things that I have mentioned are true, are from scripture, and we've got Romans 8, 28 on the board. I'll read it with you on the screen, Romans 8, 28. And we know, And so when he says we know, it is a knowing of confidence. We know that we know that we know. We know that in all things, no matter how big, tall, round, about, or which may seem impossible, that in all things, God works. So we've got somebody working for us and with us and through us. God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for our lives, and we have been called to action by his power and strength. And perhaps circumstances are overwhelming with you right now. Maybe you lost your job, or your husband or your wife are ill. And you say, well, you know, it's good to hear these up and away messages, but life is hard. Life is tough. And you're right. But let me tell you something. There's somebody greater than the challenges that we go through. We've got somebody who's proven their character and their strength, and that's Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. We can trust in him. Perhaps circumstances can be like a tsunami coming over us. Now, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but you don't know my situation. No, I don't. But I know your God. I know our Father, and he will not leave us nor forsake us. Maybe you're facing a medical disaster. Maybe you've got a death in your family, which people do. Maybe there are other consequences that people are going through for bad decisions they've made. But there's never too late for God. It's never too late to change your life. Trust him and go boldly. And he makes us a promise. He makes us a promise that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter how bad things are. Put your trust in God. And I think that's the whole thing about faith, that God wants us to learn to trust him with all of our mind, heart, and soul. And then we see his life being lifed over in us. And we're able to say, wow, God, it's true. You are almighty. You have fulfilled the promises. I've seen that in the lives throughout the Bible of people. I've seen it in my life. I see the people in the Bible, like Abraham and Jacob. In Genesis 42, let's look into some scripture. But I want us to leave with one topic and one word or phrase that we will write our names in and have as a slogan for ourselves and for others. And that is, we know. Not I might know. You know, we don't come in weakness. We come in power and strength. They used to call it bodacious. I call it Holy Spirit. We know. No guessing. No compromising. We know, and we're not afraid. Genesis 42. Jacob, a man of God, an old man like myself, probably older than me at certain times in his life, an old man and feeble, had suffered many blows, had gone through many trials that would have knocked the life out of anyone else. This is a tough old guy. His sons had caused him with nothing but trouble. Had a lot of sons, but they were troubled. And some of their actions were truly despicable. His dearest and truest son, Joseph, had been killed by a wild animal and eaten. Imagine going through that. Have one of your children eaten. And had been killed by the wild animal. And he was facing economic disaster. Ruin. See, the people you see in the Bible, they went through real things because of a famine. And his sons had to go down to Egypt looking for a handout, looking for food, begging. And in the process, had created an international incident that had left one of them rioting and rotting in an Egyptian prison. Jacob's youngest son, Benjamin. This is a tough life for this family. Benjamin, what happened to Benjamin? He was heading out on a dangerous mission to try and free him and Jacob. And he became overwhelmed. And it was a very fearful situation. In verse 36, he gave vent to his feelings. Don't ever follow your feelings. You're going to be in much trouble. He began to follow his feelings and to vent them. And notice what he said. You have bereaved me, Joseph, and Joseph is no more. You have double-crossed me. My son is no more. Simeon is no more. He began to name all the people in his family died. And you want to take Benjamin? I took all of them, let them, all them other boys go with you. Now you want me to give you Benjamin. This is, no. This is Jacob talking. All these things are against me. Now notice that. Legendary man of God. He's saying, all of this is against me. He may have used some other words too. I don't want to read into scripture that which is not there, but he was really upset. Have your children been taken from you? All these things. I've tried to obey God. Now all this mess, all these things are against me. The whole world's against me. Why should I obey? Could you imagine that? Notice the phrase, all these things are against me. Have you ever gone through a situation or a period in life and just seemed to not be able to come out of it? And you say, I just might as well go onto the streets. I might as well steal or do this or do that. Everything's against me anyway, and nothing I try to do right turns wrong. It's all wrong. Not right. All these things are against me. Now notice Romans 8:28, which we're studying. Romans 8:28, and comparing it to Jacob. It says, all these things are against me. Now notice Romans 8:28, all these things work together for good? Wait a minute. All these things are against me? Notice the phrase, all these things are against me. The first statement reflects on how we feel. Oh, this is just all bad luck. And then you go make stupid decisions. I've made stupid, crazy decisions based on my feelings. Notice the phrase, all things against me. When we start feeling sorry about ourselves and life's unfair, that's when we really start messing up. All things. But in Romans 8:28, what does it say? All things work together for good. God working through you can turn your whole situation around for good. Romans 8:28. That's why I'm going through this series. That we come to see that all things in God, in Christ, work together for good. The first statement reflects how we feel from our perspective. The second describes how things really are from God's perspective. We get all messed up in our view and our perspective of things. We don't see God's. We see our own. And we make it worse than it is. And as it turned out, all these things that seemed to be against Jacob really did become things that worked together for good. Hallelujah! Some good news finally. Finally. Finally, things worked together for good. Joseph wasn't dead after all. He was, you know, his dad was thinking, Joseph is his dad, he's gone. But he wasn't. Joseph wasn't dead after all. He was the prime minister of Egypt. That's how God worked it for good. Gave the control of Egypt to Jacob's son. Wow. The famine was God's tool as well. Let me read something again. Joseph wasn't dead after all. He really was alive. But Jacob's dad thought the worst. Don't do that. He was the prime minister of Egypt. Speaking of Joseph, the famine was God's tool to reunite Father and Son. So we can't see that, but God does. And God works all things for the good. We know that all things work together for good. That ought to be our pledge. We know. It turned out again, all things seem to work out, not against Jacob, but for him and for his good. Joseph wasn't dead. He was alive. He was the prime minister of Egypt. The famine was God's tool to reunite father and son. The brother held hostage became the mechanism for family reunification. Imagine that. And the very events that so disturbed Jacob were the circumstances that catapulted his family into prosperity and ruler over all that part of the world, especially Egypt. At the outset of every crisis or problem, we have to choose or choose our attitude. Don't let it just creep up on you and you just, okay, no. You have to choose your attitude. Either we'll collapse or in despair or say, all these things are against me. What are you going to be hollering when you're suffering? What do I holler sometimes? And weep and whine, right? All this is against me. Everything, you choose your attitude. You really can, especially through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can be a complainer or an explainer. You can bring light or darkness. Either we'll collapse in despair and say all these things are against me, or we will decide to view them, view our circumstances through the prism of Romans 8:28, and say all these things may appear to be against me. Amen? Appear. But according to the word of God, all these things will work themselves out for my good, according to the word of God. God's timing and providence, Romans 8:28. And we know, that's what I want to close the sermon with today. And we'll come back, and I'm giving you a lot. But hope we can gather some things that will be life-changing for us. We can choose our attitudes. We can walk in the Spirit of God. We can walk in, receive Romans 8:28. And we know. See, we can have that I know attitude. That's why I entitled this sermon, We Know. You see, that seems rather bold of you. No, it's survival. I know that I know that I know that I know that my Redeemer lives, and he lives in me, and he lives in you. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. We'll pick this up next week, but I hope you will walk away with that we know attitude. We know God works all things. We know it. We know it. I'll finish this next week, God willing. Father in heaven, we thank you that you don't leave us to our own attitudes. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that we can have his mindset, which is your mind and heart. Thank you for loving us. Forgive us of our attitudes and mattitudes. We're mad at folks and this and that and everything. We don't want an attitude, Lord, and we don't want a mattitude. We want your life. We want your spirit in us. So forgive us and fill us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, all his promises are yes and amen. We're going to partake of his promises, his promise of salvation through his only son, Jesus Christ. And here, yes, and here, amen. We have hope, but more than a hope, we have a future. God knows. God works all things. All things. And we know, as we sing the songs, as we read the scriptures or hear the word of God, We should know. We should know that we know that we know that we know. And we should live with confidence, no matter the severity of the trial, of the difficulty we face. We know that in all things we are more than conquerors, and that we have the life of Christ in us. And that's why we're going to partake now of the bread and the wine. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 22, says this. Mark 14 and verse 22. While they were eating, and we're going to eat, and we're going to eat of the body and drink of the blood of Jesus Christ, who gives us life. And we know, and we should know that we know, when we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that it is Christ in us that forgives us, that strengthens us, gives us new life and life for eternity. So while the disciples were eating, Jesus took bread. And we're going to eat of bread. And we ask of you, Father, to bless this bread. And as we eat it, we will be empowered by it, that through your Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, bring the spiritual nutrients, the spiritual food, and let it not only give us good health, but change us. Make us in your image. Just as the disciples, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Have you imagined yourself, whether verbally stating it or through prayer, asking God to give to others through you bread to nourish their souls? Maybe it's one of your children. Maybe it's a coworker or a friend. That you realize now that you have, that you know that God works all things together for the good, and he's using you and me and all of us an instrument of his grace. Think about that. Are you willing to give of your life and time and so forth spiritually what Jesus gave of his life to his disciples through his body? And as we eat this bread, Father, we ask you to bless it, that may we be granted the blessing and opportunity to share our life. Bread is a symbol of life. Even as Jacob and his family knew as they went out into Egypt. As we go into the Egypt of our lives, into our towns, into our friends' homes or our neighborhood, that we would give them bread, living bread, through the Holy Spirit, and that we may cast that bread throughout your community, and people see at our communities, I should say, people could see, and then they come to see. That's yes and amen. Let me finish reading now. And then he took the cup, the wine, symbolic of the blood of Jesus, and he gave thanks. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the blood of your Son. And we know that you, through it, changed our lives, and we're instruments to change the lives of others. Let us do that. Let us change the lives of others. As we drink of this wine, we're able to share our spirit, our blood, our time, our love towards others, that they may be nurtured and strengthened, that they, Holy Spirit, come to live in their lives and change their lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Let me read now and pray. And so he gave thanks, and he offered the cup to them, and they drank from it. This is my body of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. So, Father, we look forward to the day when we eat with you and drink with you, and we are with family members and friends and people who right now are totally against you. Use us, Lord. Use us to bring life, to bring bread and wine into their lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God has done so much for us. Let us sing what he's done.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from his side. No greater sacrifice. What he said. Forgiven, and my future is heaven. I praise God for what he's done.
Sing for the freedom he has won. Even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave. What he done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven.
Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. Oh, sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. Done. Oh, I praise God.
what he's done. I'll never forget what he's done. I'll never forget what he's done. Oh, I'll never forget.